Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
I have a few passages of scripture I would like to read that will give us the on-ramp to what I want to share this morning. And so with that, let's settle in. Those of you, you've known that I've been teaching out of the book of John since the beginning of the year. And that was after last year where we were teaching through the book of James. And it's been really rich. And I've been going like big idea by big idea starting in John 1 and moving through. But I'm going to jump ahead. I can do that. I can. You know why? Because I'm the one up here preaching. That's why. Also, I'm going to be going on a sabbatical in July. And I want to just kind of get to the good part before I go on sabbatical. It's all good. Don't misunderstand me. But John 20 is where I'm at right now. So John 20, verse 19. And this is going to dovetail into a couple of other passages of scripture that relate to this. And it relates to the particular day that we are celebrating today. John 20, verse 19. That evening, the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they had locked the doors. But suddenly, Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his wounds in his hands and on his side, and they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Now, just note that this is the day of his resurrection, that evening, okay? And now we have in verse 21, Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you." In verse 22, then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." 40 days with his disciples after his resurrection. I'm pausing now. I want that phrase, "receive the Holy Spirit," to settle in on you. He's with his disciples for 40 days now, and I'm going to pick it up in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus instructed them after 40 days of being with him, and there are at least 11 accounts within the scripture of Jesus appearing to them. There were probably more. Man, I wish we had recordings of what he had talked about during those 40 days. That'd be a great podcast series. But this is one thing he said to them. In Acts 1, verse 4, Jesus instructed them, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. For John baptized you with water, and in a few days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 6. Every time they were gathered together, they would ask Jesus, "Lord, is now the time that for you to free Israel and to restore your kingdom?" And in verse 7, he answered, "The Father is the one who sets the fixed dates and the times of their fulfillment. You are not permitted to know the timing of all that he has prepared by his own authority. But I promise you this. I promise you this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive or be seized by power. You will be my messengers in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and the distant provinces to the uttermost places of the earth, including northern Pakistan." And right after Jesus spoke these words, the disciples saw him being lifted into the sky and disappearing into a cloud. And they stared into the sky, watching Jesus ascend. And two men in white robes suddenly appeared beside them. And they told the startled disciples, Galileans, why are you staring up into the sky? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. Now he will come back, but he will come back in the same way that you saw him ascend. Now, friends, let's imagine the days after that, the week after that, the week and a half after that. And we're going to pick it up in Acts 2, verse 1. This is all in sequence, and this is all in fulfillment of the promises of God, not only for the original first generation church, but for you and I. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:1 was the fulfilled Pentecost, or what would be known as Shavuot, which is 50 days from the Passover Sabbath. Do you guys remember 50 days ago when we had a Passover downstairs? So guess what today is? Shavuot. Today is Pentecost. All the disciples were gathered in one place, and suddenly they heard a sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. And the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all everyone could just bear to hear. All at once, there was this pillar of fire that appeared before their eyes, and it separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them, or just laid upon them. And they were filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. Now, at that time, there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. And in verse 12, they all stood there dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, "What is this phenomenon?" But others poked fun at them, saying, "They're just drunk on new wine." And in verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to understand clearly what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. For God says, 'This is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy and your young men to see visions and your old men to experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy.'" Happy Pentecost, people. This is what we're like remembering today. And I want to encourage you with a couple of thoughts here this morning about the Holy Spirit. You okay with that? There's the exit. I don't want anybody to run for it, but we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit because I think the Holy Spirit's pretty amazing. And I'd like to encourage us here that the Holy Spirit is the promised gift of God to you and I. So before we go too deep into this conversation about what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and all of those different things, let me just pause for a moment and acknowledge the fact that some of what we have been taught, at least myself personally, about the Holy Spirit has been, I guess the phrase we had learned back in the day was hamburger helper. And what that means is like the meat of what it is for us to understand and know and live in relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the meat. And sometimes culturally, whether that's in church culture or in fear or in whatever, there are certain add-ons that get layered onto the meat of it, right? So that's what we call hamburger helper. And I don't want to like add to the hamburger helper here today, okay? I want to actually just kind of get to the meat of it. And so before we get into really talking about the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you this question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? We know the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. That they all point to and glorify and honor the other. that the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, that Jesus points us to the Father, and then the Father turns around and points to you and welcomes you into this divine dance called the perichoresis. And so, who is Jesus? Because you have to know that when you think about Jesus and you think about who Jesus has been for you, of course we know that he is the visible image of the invisible God. We've been talking about that for a couple of years now, how Jesus is the portrait of God, that Jesus and God are the same. That when you see, Jesus says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Now, how then would it be for us to turn that to the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, what we know about Jesus is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same. So the thing that I don't want you to kind of trip up on here today is some of that cultural add-ons to the Holy Spirit that are unlike Jesus. I want us to experience the Holy Spirit as, in fact, the Christ, the anointing of God. I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit is literally God on the earth. If Jesus has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and the Holy Spirit has been released to planet Earth, to us, then we know then that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God on the earth. And he is our counselor and our guide. And he helps us discern between sin and righteousness. I suppose you could say that he's, you know, if you're paying attention, he's your conscience. You know, your intuition. And most of the sermons that I've heard, or most of the sermons that I've spoken myself over the years around Pentecost, have often revolved around the call to ministry. The call to the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. The call to remember the supernatural, right? To aspire to move in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will not in any way minimize or negate any of that today, but I do want to focus a bit on what Jesus says to us in John 14, verse 16 and 17. And we're going to just spend some time moving through some passages of Scripture because I think it's really healthy for us if we're going to get to the meat of it. Yeah? So you don't need my opinions about stuff. So this is John 14, 16 and 17, and this is what Jesus is saying to us. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is another advocate. That word there is parakleo, which basically is someone who will stand beside you, offering up evidence that stands up in God's court. Get that? So advocate. It's like, a defense attorney, you know, who has solid evidence. And so the Holy Spirit stands with you and offers up evidence that stands up in God's holy court. And this reminds me of what we're told in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. When you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give you the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased for you. Purchased you to be his own people. So how is it we need another advocate? You know, the word advocate could actually be translated helper or even savior. So how is it that we need another advocate? I mean, wasn't the redemption of Jesus on the cross enough to save us? This is where I'm going to start to veer a little bit from my normal talk on Pentecost. And I'm going to start to bring in some ideas that are fresh to me. There are things I've been meditating on here. And I want to ask that question. Wasn't the redemption of Jesus on the cross enough to save us? How is it that we need another Savior? Well, I guess one of the questions we can start with is this question of what did Jesus save us from? And so this is where we get to go down this avenue a little bit. You guys ready for this? Yeah. Okay, so buckle your seatbelts. We're taking a little ride. And we're going to go into Romans 8. How many of you love Romans 8? Romans 8 is amazing. It's such an encouraging, victorious passage of Scripture for us. And Romans 8, verse 3 is where I want to start when it says this, that God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. God's Son gave his body to be a sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. And we know that the byproduct, this is a sidebar here for just a second, because I'm going to keep reading. The sidebar here is this, that we know that the byproduct of sin is death, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So now picking it back up in Romans 8 verse 4. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life where? In us. And we are free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Wait here, gang, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will give you power. You will receive power. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit in you that gives you the capacity to live freely. All right? So what a wonderful gift. I mean, Ephesians 2, it's very clear on this. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that none of us can boast about it, right? And so God not only wants to save us from the guilt of sin, but you remember what Romans 8, verse 3 here says. It's the guilt and the power of sin that God is saving us from. So Jesus is wanting to save us and is offering to us salvation from the guilt of sin. He wants to save us also from the power of sin and the natural consequences that sin produces in our lives. So this is where I'm going to just go out on a limb here and just talk a little bit about the distinction between the guilt of sin and the power of sin. Because how many of you know that you can be absolutely saved from the guilt of sin? You know without a shadow of a doubt that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And you still fall under the power of sin at times in your life. Maybe every day. And there's a dynamic offering of the grace of God, not only to save us from the guilt of sin, so that when we stand before God and we have this advocate standing beside us with concrete evidence that we'll stand up in God's court, that we are saved by grace, and it's our faith in Jesus Christ that ushers us into that salvation. There is also a dynamic move of God that empowers us to be saved from the power of sin on the daily. I got excited and I lost my place. So I guess it kind of points back to that Ephesians 2 passage. It's by grace that you're saved. Not only from the guilt of sin, it's by grace that you're saved from the power of sin. It's through faith that you're saved from the guilt of sin. It's also through faith on the daily that you're being saved from the power of sin. It's not of ourselves to receive salvation from the guilt of sin. And it's not solely dependent on our humanity and our strength as a human being to save ourselves from the power of sin on the daily. It's a gift from God so that none of us can boast. There's no room for spiritual pride when it comes to the recognition that the only saving grace that I have, not only from the guilt of sin, but also from the power of sin, is a gift. It's a grace gift from God. And this so echoed, you know, in 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. I want to just go ahead and read this again. Yeah, digging into this word is just so rich. So everything that we could ever need. This is 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Everything, 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 underline it, everything that we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, Jesus, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through the glorious manifestation of his goodness. The manifestation of God's goodness. What's his name? Holy Spirit. And Jesus. But Holy Spirit for us. They're one and the same. And then verse 4, and as the result of this, he has given us magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with what? The divine nature of Christ, by which we have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. This is our escape from the corruption that besets us as human beings living in this fallen world on the daily, where we are being saved from the power of sin in our lives and the consequences which lead eventually to the death of things, whether that's the death of relationships, the death of health, the death of vibrancy in life and soul. It's like, man, there is a power that God is giving to us, and it's amazing to remember it on this day, the day of Pentecost. So all that God requires of us in order to be brought into right relationship with him has been satisfied through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the power of our life is not found in the works of our weak humanity, but in the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit released in our lives. And so, hey folks, this is good news. So just to reiterate, Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. And Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin, and the Holy Spirit saves us from the power of sin. I'm just going to put it like that. And when Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit that would come upon us, we would receive power, both power to minister in the supernatural grace gifts of God towards others, and it's also this overcoming power to escape sin on the daily. All right, I just want to pause here for a second. And I just need to come up for air, because I feel like God's doing some stuff in the room. I've been experiencing it since worship. We're going to wrap this up here in a minute, but we're going to transition into a time of letting the Holy Spirit minister to some of you. I had a great conversation this week with someone who was lamenting because they actually live in a different they live in a different city, and they go to a different church, and they were lamenting that every time they go to church, it's like the same thing over and over and over again. It's like this routine that happens, you know? And I was reminded this morning of this quote. I can't attribute it to somebody. Maybe some of you know this quote. It's like, if the Holy Spirit left the building, would you notice? You know, if the Holy Spirit left your church, would you notice? And I was like, man, I hope I would notice. And then I was like, I'm kind of noticing right now, Holy Spirit, where are you? I just wanted to ask him that. Like, Jesus, where are you this morning? And because usually when I'm experiencing like the presence of the Holy Spirit collectively as a community, it's like God is like, I usually see it in certain images. Like I see it like rain that's coming down on all of us. Or I see like this beautiful, like goldy. That's a word. It's like this glorious sort of hue that happens in the room that I see sometimes. And I was like, I'm not experiencing you right now, Holy Spirit. What's going on? And Jesus was like, that's because I'm over here. He was right there. His back was to me, which I didn't get offended by, because he was ministering to this particular group of people specifically. And he's like, are you okay with that? Of course, I was like, yeah, I'm okay with that, but can I join in? That looks fun. He's like, yeah, why don't you invite the church to be my body as I minister to these people. And I know that not all of you are sitting there during worship, but you get to come in for the ride. But I think all of you were here during worship. And I remember Jesus, I remember seeing Jesus like literally kneeling down on his knees. And I don't know what he was doing. If he was praying for you, if he was washing your feet. So I just want to bless you. So friends, if you're in this section and you were experiencing the ministry of Jesus during worship, or if you were asking for Jesus to minister to you, would you simply raise your hand, because the rest of us are going to be the body of Christ and come to you and pray for you. Can we do that? Okay, ready, go. You don't need much instruction, but as you're walking, I'm going to be praying for you. So friends, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to minister his love and his life to the friends that we have who are sitting over here. And as they're raising their hand, raise it high, don't be shy. And some of you who aren't moving, you're thinking, well, I don't know if I should be praying for these people. Like, I'm new to this church, or I don't know these people. It's okay, go ahead. We'll be a community together here. So God, we pray for the supernatural outpouring of your grace into the lives of each person that we've been praying for. And I thank you, God, that you are moving in their lives. And you're also moving through each of our lives as we partner with you and join with you in this. Thank you for the privilege. You know, my personality is such that, you know, when the Lord had me do that, I worried about all of you out here who have needs. And the Lord's like, just let it go, man. I got this. And and he's like, I just think it's so amazing to me how he just wanted to invite all of us to focus in on a particular facet of our fellowship who he was paying close attention to this morning. And that's not to say that he's not paying close attention to all of us. It's just that this morning there was something special that God wanted to do in this particular area right here. So God bless all of you to receive everything that God has for you. So good. Yeah, so, you know, Romans 8, I love it. I just encourage you to read it this week. Read it multiple times. I just want to read this part where it says in verse 11 that God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your body, your physical body, the body that's affected by living in an environment that it cannot survive in. The effects of sin and decay and brokenness and all of that stuff has its weight on us, and we experience that in our physical bodies. But the Lord is encouraging us that he will also raise your bodies to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. And so, beloved ones, the flesh has no claim on us at all. We have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. And so, friends, receive the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you stand with me, and I'll pray that over us as a blessing. God, your words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to Paul makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, just friends, as you posture yourself to receive, I just pray, God, that your power would be released in fresh ways for us today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. I just thank you, God, that you make it clear in your word that we can come to you on the daily. We can ask you every single day, like children asking a good father for the Holy Spirit. You're not like earthly fathers who, when a son or a daughter would ask for bread, you know, we might be tempted to give them something else. You, God, When we ask you for the Holy Spirit, you give it to us liberally. And we thank you, God, that this is something that you have done since the moment that we had a yes in our heart towards you, when you brought the Holy Spirit into our lives and established us in you. We are in you. And every single day we get to ask you for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, not only to empower us to be your witnesses all around and to manifest the good grace gifts of God to others, but Lord, for the power to overcome so that we ourselves are not just susceptible to the power of a decaying world. And we thank you, Lord God, for that empowerment now. And I bless you, friends, to receive it in fullness. I bless you every time you purpose in your heart this week to just take some quiet moments and center in on the person of Jesus. You will experience a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life because he and the Holy Spirit are one. And I bless you to experience the goodness of God in that and for that to inform how you move through your days. And I bless you in your overcoming. I bless you to find strength. I bless you to lean into others as we can encourage one another in that. And so, friends, I bless you to receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not only for this day, but an increase in the days to come. And we just ask you for that now. So friends, just take a minute and just make it personal and tell them what you want. And then take a minute and exercise the authority and the power of your voice and let him know that you're receiving this. Just go ahead. I don't mind if you speak it out. I think there's power in your voice. Just thank him and tell him that you're receiving what he has for you this day, the grace that's available for you now in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the ways that you're encouraging us. Thank you for loving our children so well in the nursery and in Mount Joy. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless each of our days as we go from this place. And we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless all of you, and we will see you again soon. Thanks.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.